Welcome to the Solutions for Success podcast, where we interview successful people in business in and around the Nashville, Tennessee area. We believe that success leaves clues, and if you really want to achieve success in life, the best way to do that is to learn from others that have been there before. But before we get started with today's guest, let me remind you that you can get access to this recording and the transcripts from this show at NashvilleSuccessSummit.com. Simply go over to the website at NashvilleSuccessSummit.com, register as a free member, and you'll get access to an entire library of success interviews along with the recordings as well as the transcripts.
Today we're on with David Dutton, the founder of Nashpreneur.com, which is a community of Nashville business owners, and David's going to explain that to us today. And he's also an author and an all-around expert guy on the internet. But can you share just a little bit about yourself and where you get started and what you're doing today?
Absolutely. Well, I'm 34 years old as of this recording, and been making a living on the internet for about 10 years. I was a broke college student going to studying, majoring in Bible, but I was always kind of an entrepreneur, even though I didn't have any direction. I was 23. I figured out how to make money on the internet and didn't get rich overnight. In fact, I ate ramen noodles and peanut butter and all that stuff. I was almost poor by choice. I mean, for me, going to get a sales job and a full-time corporate career, at least for me, that was easy. I mean, I knew I could do that. I could sell my way into that. But I wanted something different. I'd already been exposed to life being short, and I just didn't want to hate my life. And I just stuck with the making money on the internet and just started out with joint ventures and brokered a $8 million deal in my dorm room when I was about 22. And the internet was different back then. It's radically changed now, and it's very congested. So now fast forward today, I own probably about 12 websites. I've sold some, still make a full-time living. I do some coaching. I'm one of those people that do coaching as a side. There's a lot of people that coach out there that they make more money coaching than they do actually doing what they teach, and that's always my pet peeve. But now I'm actually branching out into the Nashville market because for the past 10 years I haven't done anything locally. I'm from Murfreesboro, and so I'll be doing the round speaking and building out Nashpreneur.com.
Tell us, what is Nashpreneur.com? What is the vision for that?
Well, it's one of those 1 o'clock in the morning ideas. I knew I wanted to get out of my house. I knew I wanted to speak more. And then PodCamp came along this year, 2012, and I thought, man, I was a Kool-Aid drinker. I mean, I love my internet marketing, but I enjoy speaking, but I never do it. I've done about 13 seminars myself, but I hadn't done them, put them together in a couple years, but I always love it when I do. And so I was like, all right, I'm definitely going to do it. And I knew I needed a different brand. I wanted to market more to people that have, like, real businesses. They're not necessarily trying to quit their job, although I still, I can, market to that clientele as well. But I wanted to hang out with people like me. I love entrepreneurs. That's all my friends are entrepreneurs. I just enjoy it, never get tired of it. And so I wanted to put together just kind of a different brand. The name Nashpreneur, which is Nashville and Entrepreneur put together, came up with that about 1 o'clock in the morning, and just one of my working fest of just obsessively working, and then I usually will take a few days off and relax. But it's basically a place where people can get real marketing advice on how to use technology to market their business. We have a podcast. We have there'll be networking groups. I'm going to be doing a monthly mastermind group that's just for real world stuff. Back when I started this, when I was 23, I actually had to go pay the bills. So all this whole brand stuff, and I had to do marketing that actually made me money. And so I do that now to this day that actually brings in money. We call that direct response marketing. And so there'll be a heavy focus on that. So that's what that's about, just a community for Nashville entrepreneurs.
And with the focus really on marketing and how to market your business to make money, right?
Is that, yeah, I mean, if you're the local real estate agent, if you're the local local real estate agent or the insurance agent, or you own a restaurant or anything like that. I'm working with an HR rep right now. I'm working with BuzzPlant.com, who worked with a Passion of the Christ. It looks like Bob's becoming a client. They did Full Surfer and all those things. I'm working with him to do some projects. And so it's people that basically just have a business that they don't want to be a geek, but they know they need social media and they know they need kind of tech help. So I kind of help them put it all the, all together, how to put up the autoresponder. I've written sales copy for the World's Strongest Man, so I can help with writing sales copy and all that stuff as well.
Excellent. So you mentioned a couple of names there, and I know that when we look at some of your sites out on the internet, there's a video out there from Christy Frank from Donald Trump's The Apprentice. So share with us, how did you do that? How do you go from being the guy in Nashville who lived in Murfreesboro, you're a local guy, and how do you go and get the attention of people like Christy Frank or the folks doing the Passion of Christ, all of these people that you now have in your circle and the joint ventures that you're able to pull together? Can you share with us some tips about how you get their attention?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's three or four things that come to mind. One is I like to play defense first. That's always my first strategy on anything I do, and same thing with my clients. Anything we do, we play defense first. So what I mean by that is, if I approach you, Joanne, about doing a joint venture, I'm going to make sure my ducks are in a row. Now, it does not have to be perfect, okay? Make sure you don't read into that. It does not have to be perfect, but does my website look okay, or my marketing materials, or whatever? That type of thing before I even approach these people. They want to know, because successful people are busy and they don't want you to waste their time, which I don't blame them. And so play defense first, like with Nashpreneur, before I started telling everybody about it, I played defense. I made sure it looked great. I wanted to make sure there were some articles on there that people actually could see the quality. We're releasing some really, really cool stuff that, behind the scenes right now, as well. So that's a defense. And now I'm starting my offensive plan of approaching people. Back to Christy Frank. I'll tell you how I approached her. I was looking for someone to endorse my Most Connected Marketer brand, and I knew I wanted a celebrity that was kind of in business, and Dan Kennedy had just hired Christy Frank for his Phenomenon DVD set, and it hit me. Christy Frank. So I just Googled her, looked around. You won't believe this. I actually emailed her from her YouTube account. People are blown away by that. A lot of people don't even know that. So anybody listening to this, that's kind of insider stuff. But I emailed her, told her, what I'm doing and, what I'm looking for. Very short and compact emails. My emails are only like three or four paragraphs at the most. They're very strategic when I write. And I got her on the phone, we talked, and she ended up endorsing my product. And that has led to thousands of sales, just having her on the website.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was
just having that association with a celebrity like that. That's wonderful.
Absolutely. The key, too, I want to say is there's two other things, too. I'm not saying I think you have to do all these things, but I'm not saying this is an exhaustive list, but reciprocity, I got to give first. I've got to, try to add value anytime I can. And it's not a cookie cutter thing either. I don't, if I want a joint venture with you, then I would not just blow up on you, throw up on you like my stuff is the best in the world and doing you're an idiot if you don't do this stuff and none of that garbage. It's not about you. It's all about the other person. You got to add value to the other person, and then it'll come back. It might not be that day. I sent David Fry, if you know David Fry is online, he's a major marketer. I sent David Fry a ball. It's a really cool. You can send these balls in the mail, and they don't package them up or anything. So when the mailman delivers it, it's a big ball with your personal message on there. David Fry was blown away by that. long story short, he endorsed me to his list of 50,000 people. On that list of 50,000 people, by the way, I didn't get anything from it. Like, there was no pitch for him or anything, but I knew he would be blown away by it. That's the value. I knew he would be blown away by it because he was a marketer. Keep that in mind. I wouldn't do anything like promote his site or anything like that. It was just, you know, something I knew he would like. Long story short, about 3 days later, Ryan Lee, if you know who Ryan Lee is, he's a major marketer, RyanLee.com. He called me up, said, hey, any friend of David Fry's, friend of mine? Long story short, we signed a five-figure consulting deal, Ryan Lee and I. Ryan Lee introduced me to Phil Pfister's trainer. Phil Pfister was at the time the world's strongest man. He's still on ESPN right now. I just saw him the other day. And I got to write copy for him. And so all because of a $19 little red ball.
That's incredible. What a great story.
Yeah, it was really cool how that little trail just kind of, and because I got that, I ended up doing consulting for a guy named Evan Pagan.
But I think, you know, underneath what you just said, maybe the part you didn't say was you intended to do something to meet David Fry or to meet Christy Frank. So
yes.
I've seen one of your, I think it's one of your white papers or one of your downloads where you're basically telling people, go create a list of the people that you want to meet and then figure out how to get to them, right? So you started with intention.
Very intentional, and also I don't care if I fail or not, and I need to stress that too. A lot of people are so scared to meet people and to interact and all that stuff, and I still get excited today. You know, with the people that I meet. That's still like I was like a little kid or something. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. But they're still people. They're still normal, regular people. And you can't care if they're going to turn you down or not or what they're going to say. I don't really care. You know, when I approach somebody, find out if they're nice, if they're cool. A lot of times I know about them. I kind of know how they're going to come off anyway. Mm-hmm. And I stick with those people. Only network with people that you're congruent with and leave everybody else alone. You know,
yeah,
and like you said, be very strategic about it.
There's someone who is afraid or doesn't know how to start making those connections. What we said was, first of all, make your list of who you want to meet. And then second, then just start intentionally reaching out to them, figure out what you can do for them. But not be afraid of rejection. So those are the things that we just heard in this conversation. Is there anything else you would add to that, though? Or is that really?
Yeah, that's some great stuff. If all you do is take those action steps right there, you'll see an increase in your business. I guarantee it. I mean, I've got so many clients that have implemented what I've taught, and just be very strategic. I tell people build a list of 50 people, build that list, and typically the results I get. Or my clients are getting is they'll go through like 10 or 15 people. Like once they built their list, they'll start kind of connecting with, you know, say the first 10. And they're already getting referrals. They're already like building their business. They're already getting, you know, different projects. And that's normal. That's a typical response. But it's all about being strategic. And what Evan would say, get altitude. You want to get altitude on your situation. Look at it as a high level. Like I own Nashpreneur.com, but I look at it from a high level view. And I'm just managing that. And that includes my connections. I will tell you my secret weapon. If you listen to any other interviews I've ever done, I talk about this all the time, which is a book called Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion. Because chapter 4, which is social proof, and the chapter on reciprocity, and then the chapter on authority have made me all of my money. And if people will just follow even one of those chapters, They'll do very well. They'll just start applying those strategies and techniques. But get very strategic about your business and try to come up with like a 90-day plan. Say, all right, I'm going to do this for 12 weeks, 90 days, and this is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And then just roll it out. And if you need help, go get somebody to help you.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. And I'm just a huge believer in that, you know, taking time to figure out what it is you're trying to build and put together the plan and just work it. I'm with you 100%.
Absolutely. Yeah, and just have that strong desire of what you want. I mean, you know, like the way I've been very fortunate on the Internet to break up my life into projects. I bought my dream car last year, 2010, and I was able to not have a car payment. I've never had a car payment, but I got to buy my dream car, and I created a project for that. And I'm telling you that story because that was one of those aha moments in life, that whole think and grow rich type of mentality of like, you know, you got to see it to achieve it. And all that stuff you hear about, it's real. I'm telling you, it's real. And that was one of those where I went up another notch, you know, of my belief level. And so what you try to do is in your business, you know, if you're the local real estate agent or you have an internet business or whatever you're doing, figure out what you want to achieve. What exactly, why are you in business? You know, what is your bottom line? You know, for me, I want to have health insurance, I want to be debt-free, and I want to make sure I'm not bagging groceries or greeting people at Walmart at 65. I need retirement. You know, so that's my bottom line. Those things are taken care of. What's next? You know, like, what else do I want in life? Do I want to go to Disney World with my family and it costs $5,000? And I want to do that once a year? Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. How can I make $5,000? Right. What can I put together that will make me $5,000 in my business in the next 90 days? Does that make sense?
Absolutely makes sense.
Absolutely. And don't care what anybody else thinks, by the way. Like, don't, like, look at everybody else's dreams. Don't, you know, I wanted this car since 2007. I could smell it, taste it. I've test drove it a million times, blah, blah, blah. I wanted this. I don't even care if anybody else liked the car. You know, I wanted that car, but I just, you know, I was 32 at the time, and I didn't want a car payment. So I said, okay, what can I do? So I just challenged my thinking. And anybody can do the same exact thing for whatever it is, but they got to feel it, taste it, smell it, just like you're saying, and then go after it. And then the action step, this is really crucial, the action step is, what do I have to do to get somebody to hand me their visa? What do I have to do to get somebody to hand me their visa? People have the visas. What value can I bring to this person or persons that they'll hand me their visa? You know, is it get them better health insurance? Is it, you know, sell them a house or, you know, help them get in their dream house? Whatever your business is locally, you know, add value. And make sure in your business you're focused on things that are making you money and they're not a hobby. You know, if you don't make more than $4,000, you got a hobby according to the IRS. So, you know, ask yourself, is what I'm doing today getting me closer to the visa? If it's not, you need to change it.
So many people out there who undervalue what they have to offer. And that's maybe a whole different conversation, is to figure out, how do you actually value what you're offering? Does it have enough value where you feel comfortable asking for the visa?
Yes, it's a scary thing. And I will tell you, I'm a very transparent person. That's the thing. I think I'm different than most people, because most people are scared to tell, like, when they make mistakes. And I've made tons of mistakes, tons. I don't even care if anybody knows. Like, I can help people. And I will tell you, I used to be very nervous about what I charge people, not because I was like, I'm screwing them, and, you know, like, and I had some kind of guilty conscience or anything. No, it was just, you know, I remember I charged $50 an hour, and I used to feel like, oh my God, you know, that was like a lot, you know, back in the, like, years ago or whatever. And, you know, that's a whole conversation. I won't open that one up, but it's a great conversation to have, though. So maybe we can do that another time, because I struggled with it. You know, I don't struggle with it as much anymore, but, you know, yeah, I used to struggle with it, and so I don't mind sharing some things that helped me. But I will tell you, like, having an inner circle of people that are very similar or a little bit above you in their success and belief level, if you can hang out with those people, I know you're doing the Success Summit and that type of stuff, it's like, if you can do that, I will tell you that will really help your business. There is something to that whole, you know, your five closest friends are, you know, will be about the average income you have or something. I will tell you there's something to that. I don't know everything about it, but there's something to it. So that will help.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that, and I don't think it's just your income level, right? So you start hanging around with whoever you hang around with the most, and it's not just the money that you're going to see to mirror theirs, but it's their attitude, it's their level of success.
Yes.
it's how well they take care of themselves and their families and everything else in their lives. So all
Good
of
point.
It becomes influenced by the people, those five people that you hang around with the most. And so I'm a huge believer, and I know that you are too, as this concept of a mastermind, right, and bringing yourself to the people, you know, bringing a mastermind together to work on your business like Napoleon Hill has in Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah. And don't be afraid, and I like what you said about the family, too. That's something I'm going to take away from this call myself, is just the other aspect. I'm thinking about my buddy, my best friend, and he's influenced my life tremendously. And he's worked at the White House, he still works at the White House and all this stuff, and he just really influenced, like, you know, just how to just live your life and stuff. Not even in business, forget it, even business, just in personal mm-hmm. and taking care of your body and, you know, that type of stuff. And so I'm glad you brought that up, because that definitely, you know, has influence as well. Yeah, absolutely.
But we can bounce around to a lot of different subjects, can't we? We're all over the place. I want to take us back. When you and I talked about putting together this interview, you wanted to talk about some of the things that were in your Close Bigger Deals course. And I know that we've talked a lot about some things that touch on it, but I want to give you the opportunity to talk about that a little more if you want to dig into that some.
You know, I'll just say this, that, you know, my Close Bigger Deals course, it's at closebiggerdeals.com. You know, that is probably some of my best stuff because, you know, even though I've been working on the Internet for 10 years, it all comes down to people. I just happen to be using technology to build relationships with people. And I have added a strategic twist to it as well. And so with joint ventures and networking with people. And so a lot of those things like sendaball.com are in that course. Reciprocity. How to get people to sponsor your seminars. You know, I was driving down, since this is a local podcast, this would be cool. I was driving down Old Fort Parkway in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, probably, 07. It hit me. I was listening to Dave Ramsey, and it hit me, and he said one sentence, and he wasn't even talking about the subject. It was just like, happened to be included in a sentence about there's vendors at his events. And I said, that's brilliant, because they are the funded proposal. They pay for the events and then all the tickets, the thousands of people that come, that's the profit.
Right.
And so I started doing it. I'm in a top distributor and send out cards, if anybody knows what that is. And I do these referral marketing workshops. I've done 13 of them. And all 13, well, actually, number 11 is the only one that did not make money, and that's a whole other story. But basically, I was doing these referral workshops. I would close about between 20 and 30% of the room and to send out cards. And, you know, I would make, you know, good money, and it was repeatable. I would do it every time except for that one time when the projector messed up. But it hit me after listening to that conversation with Dave Ramsey that I asked myself, who would just, like, lust after the people in the room? Who would just, like, say, wow, if I can get in front of those prospects, that would make my day? Well, a lot of my prospects were real estate agents. Well, a mortgage broker would just, like, freak about getting in front of 30, 35 people, and that's about on average of how many people I would attract to my events locally. And so I just went and pitched my first person, $150, never forget about it, mortgage broker in Murfreesboro. Mm-hmm. They even kind of asked me, am I sure, is that enough? That was a whole other story I could tell you about pricing too low.
Yeah, they wanted to give you more, huh?
They wanted to give me more. I mean, I could not believe it, and I was nervous about doing it, but I didn't care because I was, you know, my seminars always made money, so I was going to make money, but all I wanted was my coffee, donuts, and my room rental paid for. Mm-hmm. That's it. I didn't even care about making a profit off of the sponsorship. I just, you know, just wanted to clear what I was making and send out cards. So basically, that was like a game-changing moment for me as far as my income. Then I just doubled it. I literally said, I don't really care, and I doubled it. And so I would start charging $300, and I started getting that. So now when I go and do these seminars, people pay me $300 to get up, introduce their company, or I'm sorry, talk about their company, and introduce me for 10 minutes, and then they sit down. and they pay me $300 for that.
Excellent.
I've done it seven times, so it's not a fluke thing.
Right, but you're giving them value. You're giving them something that they need, right? So it's worked out for both of you. That's an excellent
thing. It's always going to be win-win.
Yep. Yeah, I love that. I love that whole concept. I definitely want to take a look at doing that for some of the events that we're putting on.
Yeah, it's all about, like, any type of deal. And even if it's just a one-on-one, if Joe and I was selling you something, it like just you and I, it does not – everybody has to win. And if not, if everybody doesn't win, just walk away, or you should walk away if you have ethics and all that stuff. And so, you know, these people, the average person doesn't know how to get – you know, 30-something people in a room, which is pretty good locally, you know, like, you know, because I didn't take out radio ads or crazy stuff like that. I just did some guerrilla marketing. And they're, like, blown away. And so they get to pitch their company into an audience that is literally sitting there listening to every word they're saying. They don't get that every day. And then I get my donuts, coffee, and usually I net about $100 in my pocket before I show up. So I get to take my wife out. You know, so it's pretty cool.
You just need someone now to actually run the event besides you, and then you can stay home and still collect the $100, right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, I need somebody to do some logistics or whatever just to get them, because I enjoy them, and I've got about 200 testimonials now, and so it's a lot of fun. That's part of my Nashpreneur.com brand that's coming out. I plan on doing workshops again, and just a lot of fun. So,
excellent. So I just for the sake of the people listening into this conversation, you've used the term referral marketing. And just so that everyone's clear, can you just describe what you mean by that?
Yeah, referral marketing is basically, you know, just getting people to talk about you and refer you business, whatever that is. And then I've done 13 workshops and probably talked about 300 people overall in all these workshops. And a lot of times people, when I ask them where they get their business, lots of them say word-of-mouth referrals. But when I ask them do they actually have a plan, none of them do. I mean, I'm talking like, you know, probably 5 people out of 300 to ever raise their hand and said, yes, I'm very strategic about it. And so, you know, that's where you want to – now that you've kind of got that relationship with the person, and you hopefully you over-deliver, because that's when it kind of triggers the referral zone, is when you over-deliver. Not if I buy, you know, you sell me a car, and then you give me the car, and I give you the money. That's what I expected. Okay. It's when you over-deliver, it triggers that, and they start talking about you. But here's the thing. People are busy. So what you got to do is basically have a system to follow up. Dan Kinney talks about putting a fence around your herd. And so, you know, basically you put a list of like 50 people. You know, if you'll take my strategy of putting 50 people over the next, say, 90 days or 6 months into your funnel. You know, like I said, I used to send out cards. You don't have to. But to me, it's automated. I literally just upload my contact list. I have different campaigns that go out. And I have, I call it a pinball machine. I use send out cards, I use my website, I use PDFs, I use videos off YouTube, all of these to add value to people and keep that top of mind awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And then I proactively actually ask people, hey, do you know somebody that needs help with blank? You know, website traffic, design, sales copy, whatever. And just ask, you know. And if you'll do that, you're going to start getting 2 or 3, 4 clients. We have one friend that insurance agent that he gets 16 referrals every single month, and all he does is send out birthday cards.
Wow,
literally. Like, all he does is send out birthday cards.
That's fantastic.
20% of his database. What's that?
So that's just fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, he does no publicity. He does nothing else but has a secretary go get the birthdays. The addresses of all of his clients and some of their friends, send out birthday cards, and he found out 20% of his database were for one person. And so he averages about 16 referrals every single month. So that's just one little theme. And what you want to do is just automate that process, because we only have so much desire. And that's a whole other topic. We only have so much desire, so much energy. And the more you can automate it, the more you'll do the right things. You know?
Right.
Like, we know we need to send handwritten notes. We know that. Every business owner in America will tell you, yes, I need to do that. But when you raise your hand and ask how many actually do it, most of them don't.
Yeah. It gets hard, right? And you get busy and it gets in your way. When it's automated, it just gets done, right?
So, absolutely. Right. And that's how you use technology to actually, you know, because you worked hard. People forget how hard they work for a lead and for a sale. I mean, really think about that. You know, you spent time and money to get that person to sign up and buy from you whatever you're selling. And so what you want to do is basically kind of double dip. You know, you want to add, you know, try to get referrals out of that person to make the best use of your time. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, and I'm trying to remember the statistic. I think, what was it? It was like it cost 16 times more to get a new lead than to just get another sale from an existing customer, or something like that. I forget what the actual number is, but, you know, the results are, you know, obviously the cost is there. And so if you can take a customer that already knows you and likes you and either get them to buy something else from you or refer you to someone else, then you have no marketing cost in that particular scenario.
Absolutely. I mean, that person, you know, that person that comes in, like, I always visualize in my seminars, there's like these 10-foot cylinder blocks in front of, say, like, you and me. You know, you're a prospect, and you know, my job is to build that know, like, and trust to break down the wall enough for you to hand me your Visa.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
You're more likely to give me referrals than I am to get leads off of billboards or radio advertising or, you know, pay-per-click ads, you know, to use the internet term, you know.
Yep.
And so I would invest in you. Like, I send a box of brownies. You know, I do two things. I send people a book or a box of brownies after they hire me, and
right.
Just to over deliver, and then they get a referral card from me. You know, and just little stuff like that. I focus on the people that are kind of in my life that are congruent with my life. If even the prospect, if they're not, then I just, you know, let them go somewhere else. You can't be desperate either. If your marketing is good, then it doesn't matter if somebody hires you right then or not. So
right.
I've got a great article. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I've got a great article to talk more about that. If you go to nashpreneur.com, click on business tips. I tell people exactly what to do when someone doesn't hire you or buy from you right then. And you could kind of use that same thing if somebody does buy from you. You know, you can use that same exact thing as well, but just flip it. But, you know, basically I have a whole in-depth article on how to kind of create your own pinball machine. And if you'll follow that with the 50 people, with my strategy of building a list of 50 people in your local area or even 100, my goal is 100, and if you'll take those two strategies, you're going to do wonders for your business.
Well, you just gave us a blueprint, didn't you? Because that, one of the questions I wanted to ask you, you know, you've done so many different things, and you've been very successful, both on the web and off. So there's people who are struggling out there trying to figure out how to make money on the Internet, and I wanted to ask you what advice you would give them to get started. But I think you just gave it.
I did. I'll sum that up real quick. Yeah, I'll sum it up really quick because it's a whole in-depth subject, but it's basically four things to focus on. Step one is your desire, and I know that sounds like rah-rah, foo-foo stuff, but I'm telling you, like, if you don't have that, you know, working for you, that desire, and nobody can put it in you, by the way. I can't give it to you. You can't give it to me. You know, you might pump me up a little bit, but, like, I have to have that desire to get out of bed and do something, you know,
mm-hmm.
kill it and drag it home.
Yep.
Step two would be traffic. Once you pick your niche, and it could be local, it could be Nashville. I want to sell insurance in Nashville, Tennessee, and I want to use the internet to do that. All right, cool. Or I want to do it all the way all over the world. Okay, cool. It doesn't change, actually. I'm doing the same thing that I teach internationally. I'm doing it locally in Nashville, and it works. I haven't changed a thing. But step two would be traffic. Once you pick a niche, it's traffic. pick 1 to 3 ways to drive traffic to your, you know, to your stuff, your website or whatever. And then, what else? And then step 3 would be to build your list. Okay, so build your list offline and online. Like I said, I use send out cards and I use email, autoresponders. I use QR codes in my cards to hit people up on YouTube. Excuse me, to build the know, like, and trust. You know, so build that list. 3 is make them an offer. Let them know you're not a nonprofit. And there's nothing against nonprofits either. You know, I'm a very big Tom Shoes guy. Like, in fact, I have a $19 strategy session that I donate all the money to St. Jude in exchange for doing a strategy session with me. So I'm a very big social entrepreneur. That's part of my philosophy in business. But, you know, listen, I'm a business. You know, you're either in business or you're not. And so you got to make them an offer. Don't be afraid to pitch stuff. Hey, buy my stuff. Why? Because it can actually make your life better. You know, and that's it. And you're going to scare people off, but, you know, that's okay.
Yeah, and so everything that you just went through, obviously there's lots more behind how you do it. You simplified it and said, here's your 4 steps. But I think if you can get your head around those 4 steps and, you know, obviously looking at the pricing model so you make sure that you're selling your product for something that's profitable, then you have a business, and that's it. You have a business.
It really is. I mean, I gave you, those are these steps right there. I gave you what to do on those 4 things, or the 3, you know, actual 3 action steps besides the desire. And, you know, you just follow those, and then you get good at those things and ask yourself, okay, wait a minute, am I doing one of these 3 areas today? If not, check yourself and then just, you know, reengage. So, okay, no, for whatever reason, I'm sabotaging myself, and I need to not be afraid to make an offer. I need to say, hey, why don't you hire me, or why don't you buy my stuff, or, you know, why don't, you know, write an email for your autoresponder and pitch them, you know, or, you know, whatever it is. Go book a speaking gig locally, you know, or go write an information product. Go write a free report. That's what I'm doing today, or that's what I did today, is write a free report, you know, for the, you know, local prospects on how to use the Internet.
Right.
So
okay.
That's what I did. It's a money-making project.
Excellent. I'd love having this conversation with you, and just in the course of the conversation, I'm coming up with hundreds of questions that I could ask you. I could make this interview go on for 4.5 hours, but I think that our listeners might tune out before we do that. So let me just ask for the people in Nashville who want to learn more about what you're doing and what you're building with Nashpreneur, how best can they find you, and what's the best way for them to find out more about you?
Sure. I would just go to nashpreneur.com, and I would get on the email list just so you can actually, you know, get the blog post. I write really in-depth articles. I'm shooting about 10 videos next week, and so you'll be able to check out those videos and its content. And then if you feel like you need some help, I suggest you, you know, schedule a strategy session with me for $19, help me raise money for St. Jude. You can find that out at nashpreneur.com/St. Jude. And but just check out all my free stuff. And you feel like, you know, we're congruent, you feel like you like what I'm doing and you need some help, then I will be glad to help you.
All right, David, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and I'm looking forward to joining up with Nashpreneur myself.
All right, thank you, Joanne. Appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right.
All right, there you have it. Some very simple tips from David Dutton, founder of Nashpreneur.com, and an invitation to come and join him and let him help you with your marketing if you're struggling with marketing. He is, after all, the most connected man on the Internet, a very smart man when it comes to marketing, and an incredibly nice guy all around as well. Thank you for joining us this week on our Solutions for Success podcast. And don't forget, you can go to NashvilleSuccessSummit.com and download the transcript as well as the recording from today's interview. Thank you all, and have a great week.